Good morning, Church of Glenshaw Valley. Happy 4th of July. When I was in high school, in my wisdom and learnedness, and in college as well, I used to criticize and ridicule born-again Christians. In my senior year in college, I received a book called The Good News and was encouraged to read it. So I read it from cover to cover and began my transformation, my being born again, my becoming a babe. In that, I learned two things that we'll learn again in our scripture. One, that there is only one way to salvation, and that's through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And two, He is always there waiting for you, no matter what you're doing and what your sins are, to take up His yoke and walk with Him in a daily walk. So please listen for your own particular message in today's scripture, Matthew 11, 25 through 30. At that time, Jesus said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned and revealed them to the little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son. And those who know the Son choose to reveal in him. Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Please bless the reading and hearing of our scripture.
Thank you. This long weekend, as we begin to celebrate Independence Day, I thought you might enjoy little thoughts from an unknown author. And as I put these, I realized I'd used some of these before, so some of you may remember and say, "Hey, I heard these somewhere before." Well, maybe right here, but happens every once in a while. Only in America. Can you get a pizza to your house sometimes faster than you can get a patrol car there? Only in America, do people order 3 double cheeseburgers, 2 large fries, 2 apple turnovers, and give me a Diet Coke. Only in America do the banks leave both doors open. This kills me. And then chain the pins to the counter. All that money, but those pins, those are valuable pins. Only in America do we use answering machines to screen the calls, and then we have call waiting so we don't miss a call from somebody that we don't really want to talk to in the first place. Only in America do we buy hot dogs in packages of 10 and buns in packages of 8. It's conspiracy. Only in America do we use the word politics to describe the, well, poly in Latin meaning many, and ticks meaning blood-sucking creatures. Well, maybe I'm a little harsh on politicians this morning. Nah. I think it's kind of appropriate I bring this subject up this morning, since our General Assembly is meeting and discussing all kind of controversial issues. There's always something controversial. I've learned, if you saw the thing, I've been ordained officially 26 years on the 29th. So when you've been a minister for a long time, you go through a lot. And I grew up Methodist, so this kind of related to it when I read this story. It's not just a Presbyterian church that goes through controversy. They all do. We just don't always hear about what they go through. Well, the Hymnal Revision Committee of the United Methodist Church was preparing the 1988 General Conference of that denomination, and they were going to introduce a new hymnal that we're going through. The committee was struggling with the words found in the battle hymn of the Republic that we're going to sing at the end. And they weren't struggling with the battle hymn's gender-exclusive language, you might think, or they weren't struggling over its militaristic imagery that you might think that it would. They weren't even struggling with this Civil War imagery. They were struggling over the phrase, "As he died to make men holy, let us die to make men free." The question, is freedom for others worth dying for? I think it's something that we as individuals have to ask ourselves, and I have to ask ourselves at times as a nation. An alternative phrase had come from Fred Waring and his Pennsylvanians. They had recorded a popular version of the battle hymn with the softer lyrics, "As he died to make men holy, let us live to make men free," and it's the one that we have in our hymnal. It was Mr. Waring's version that was chosen by the committee to be put in the new hymnal and presented to the General Conference, and they voted, yes, that is the version that we would like put into the hymnal. But when the hymnal came out, when it was printed, that's not the version that came out. It stayed the original version. "As he died to make men holy, let us die to make men free." And no one knows how it happened. As Reverend Frank Lemon said, it's the nearest mystery that the United Methodists have to the aliens of Roswell, New Mexico. In the end, Julie Ward and her group went out over Fred Waring and his Pennsylvanians. Perhaps that is for the best. I said, even though living for a good cause is even sometimes more difficult than dying for a good cause. But the original words cause us to ask, is there anything in my life that I value so much that I am willing to die for that cause, for that value? Am I willing to actually put my life on the line for it? As we reflect on our life of people, we see the parallel between the first century Palestine and our time. The Hebrews could look back on years of slavery when Moses went to the Pharaoh and said, "Let my people go." In reply, Pharaoh did not say, "Sure, y'all just go on, go free. We don't need you anymore. Just do whatever you want to do. Send me a postcard from the Holy Land when you get there. Have a good time. Thanks for being here." No, Pharaoh sent the troops to bring the people back. And we know the story, they drowned in the Red Sea. But even after they entered the Promised Land, they struggled to possess that land. Americans celebrate July the 4th, 1776, as Independence Day. But that's not strictly true, if you think about it. Maybe we should call it our Declaration of Independence Day. For merely signing our John Hancock's on the Declaration did not establish our independence. It simply got the ball rolling. King George did not read the Declaration and then say to Thomas Jefferson, "You know, that is a really nice piece of writing. You did a swell job on that. Y'all can just have your freedom. Just send me a postcard from Colonial Williamsburg. Maybe invite me over for a nice vacation. We'll sit out on the beach and have a drink." No, it took 7 years of struggle before it happened, before the Constitution could be written. But we just gloss over that sometimes. Oh, it just happened, and here's our freedom. Have we forgotten the struggle involved in this noble experiment of democracy? Because that's really what it was and still is, if you ask me. Do we cherish this land, or do we shy away from a word like patriotism because sometimes it is co-opted by a fanatic fringe, whether it be on the right or the left, trying to steal something and make it theirs? To be patriotic is not to be blind to our country's sins and their wrongdoing. Like every nation, we have our weak points. A family of refugees was very impressed with the United States of America, and I think people should be, especially a six-year-old daughter who has rapidly adopted the view that everything in America was not only the best, but it was also perfect. One day a neighbor told her she was going to have a baby, so little Mary marched home and demanded to know why she couldn't have a little baby too. Well, her mother decided she better sit down and tell her the facts of life, among other things, and explain to her that it took 9 months to have a baby. 9 months, Mary just exclaimed indignantly. 9 months? But mother, aren't you forgetting? This is America. You don't have to wait 9 months. Well, even in America, some things take time. We love our country just like we love our church, but neither are perfect. And when America is in the wrong, we need to speak up. In a principled democracy, not to speak out against wrong is actually a lack of patriotism. To be patriotic, from the Greek patros, which means fatherland, is to appreciate the sacrifice of our forefathers and our foremothers, who wanted this nation to be extraordinary. And many of them gave their lives that we might be a free people, just as many people gave their lives that we might have the Christian faith. Now, it is our turn to maintain and to improve what they have passed on to us, to safeguard it. So how shall we do that? How shall we maintain and improve that which has been given to us? We need to remember where we came from. White Americans like to think that we all came from the aristocracy of Europe. Well, a few Americans may have, but most of us are descendants of those huddled masses yearning to be free that Emma Lazarus wrote about several generations ago. Her words are inscribed on our Statue of Liberty that stands proudly in the harbor of New York City, still to welcome millions of immigrants into America. In a lesson from the gospel, Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and are overburdened, and I will give you rest." Who can read those words without being reminded of what the Statue of Liberty stands for? Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free. The wretched refuse of your teeming shore. Send these, the homeless, tempest-tossed to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door. Except for our Native American friends, we're all immigrants. And we tend to forget that. We are a nation of immigrants. We trace our ancestry back to many kinds of people from many, many different lands, especially in the year 2012. Maybe that is why our tradition as a nation to welcome the stranger with kindness and compassion that goes back to the Old Testament. There's some in our land who would change all that. They would turn us into a fortress. And that's understandable in light of 9/11. Still, we need to be mindful of our history and have a sense of balance in how we do it. We will maintain and improve that which has been handed us when we remember where we came from. And we also need to remember what we stand for as a nation. Growing up in the black ghetto of Baltimore, young Thurgood Marshall was very mischievous, and he got into trouble a lot at school. So the teachers, to punish him, each time he got into trouble, kept him in detention and would make him learn by memory a part of the Constitution. Well, he got into so much trouble, he ended up learning the whole Constitution by memory. Well, one of those teachers thought, if any of them were alive, when he ended up being a lawyer and then the first African American to be on the Supreme Court. I guess sometimes getting in trouble can be a good thing. Maybe we should have our children learn by memory the Constitution. It wouldn't hurt anyone. Wouldn't that be great if every child, every adult knew the Constitution by heart, and we would not be tricked by people who are trying to trick us by twisting words. Maybe we need to understand our Declaration of Independence, our Bill of Rights. And then we need to understand, even more importantly, where they all came from. The Bible. Go back to the original document. Remember last year when we read through the Bible in 90 days? We need to go back and read the Bible again. Get our foundation, get our feet planted firmly, rooted in Scripture. Third, we need to remember the sacrifice that has been made in our behalf. This land is ours today because men and women have given their life's blood that we can be free. Nearly 20 years ago, Dick Abel came face to face with several prisoners of war in Vietnam. Abel was the first American whose prisoners had seen after being held captive for more than 8 years, and some of the men Abel met had been in solitary confinement for 4 years. That's a long time, even an American prison, but especially in a Vietnam prison. Later, Abel stood in awe as he heard the leader of the POW speak for a message to the free world. He simply said, "Thank you for the privilege of serving. God bless America." Can you imagine that? After being in Vietnam, fighting, being captured, treated terribly, solitary confinement for 4 years. Let's not think there are not any heroes left in the United States today. There are heroes serving right now. Heroes giving their lives today. And part of what keeps men and women going, I think especially in situations in war and being captive, I truly believe is their faith in God, their relationship, for me, with Jesus Christ. You know, this is the stuff of which our commitment as Americans to freedom, justice, and equality is made. Our faith helps us to live out our commitment to freedom because we understand that only in giving up some of our autonomy as individual citizens do we truly become free as a people, as a nation, and even as a church. In Jesus' time, oxen were linked together by means of a wooden yoke that helped them work together, work in tandem, and they could pull more and better and evenly distribute the weight. Together, they were able to pull a greater load than one can pull by itself. When we are yoked to Christ, we're better able to stand up for the things for which we believe. When we're yoked to Christ, we're better able to repay the sacrifices that have been made in our behalf. So we reflect on the meaning of Independence Day. We thank God and we thank these dedicated persons who made it possible that we are able to worship in freedom this day. Not everybody has it. And we are thankful that on the Statue of Liberty we read those words that remind us of the words of Jesus. "Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free. God bless America. But let us never forget about the freedom that we find in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the one who set us free from our sins that we might have eternal life with God and all the saints forever and forever. May God bless our church. Amen.